You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hand.
Now look up the Henlock spell. And let's say it's a dot that lasts for 10 seconds. The
30's more accurate.
And Hotbox.
You can actually feel the tip.
Just the tip?
Greetings and welcome to episode 96 of The Training Dummies, recorded on May 25th, 2015. My name is Daryl, and I'm main, a restoration shaman, and more than occasionally, alt, a destruction warlock. with me this evening...
What?
Yes. In light of the guests and our topic tonight, I am my main is a resto shaman, and I'm going I'm going to stick with that story.
I'll let you have that tonight.
with me this evening, as always, is my bro host with the most, Rob, who currently mains a brewmaster monk.
You just sound unsure about that.
I know. It's always the this name of the spec. You're a monk tank, but it's always, what is that called? I can...
It doesn't matter. You can say monk, because all three specs are the best specs.
I disagree.
You're old as a Mistweaver monk.
I did, actually. When we first went into the Mogoshan Vaults, I was Mistweaver pretty heavily. Good stuff.
And that other voice you heard is here to teach me what I'm doing wrong on my main, Resto Shaman. It's Kev from Midwinter. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's really good to have you on. I feel like we've been talking enough before the show. I feel like we're all like pretty solid. I don't even know if we need to record. I feel like we're done.
We're such close friends already. Yeah. I made a main swap in like 20 minutes.
Yes. So we've gotten a really high quality of guests here lately, and you are definitely helping us keep the bar set pretty high. We're going to do something totally brand new we don't normally do, I think, tonight. Maybe start off with a couple interview questions. We'll see where it goes from there. But
groundbreaking.
Yeah, totally, like, never even heard of this before. When did you start playing, and what would you say is your current main?
So I started playing in 2004 when I was a freshman in high school. So I had a bunch of nerdy friends from... Yeah, I'm making you guys feel old right now. I had a bunch of nerdy friends from middle school, and we all played Warcraft 3 games together, and stuff like Dota and all the custom games. Those were a whole lot of fun. So we were all really excited when WoW was coming out. So I managed to jump on the bandwagon before it was a bandwagon. So we started like a month or two after it was first released. And I've been raiding since Molten Core... taken a few breaks, but it's basically been 10 years playing this game, and I got the statue to prove it.
Nice.
Oh, you. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
It's actually badass.
Yeah.
I don't have the statue.
Did not get the statue. Yeah.
I took a break
did
for...
You miss the...
Well, I started on release day. Like, yeah. My main was created on release day, but I stopped to play Warhammer for a couple months, and I think I actually canceled my subscription for like 2 months, and I'm pretty sure that's where I lost the statue, but, well, whatever. Not a big deal.
I can send you a picture after the show if you want.
That'd be awesome.
So the, my current main is also Restoration Shaman, which, two-thirds of the podcast is not going to be talking.
Hey, just to be clear, I am a ridiculous altaholic, and I have played every class and every spec all the way through. So, I guess you could say like more like two thirds, more like 7/8.
Okay, we can give you some fractions then.
Yeah,
70% resto shaman on the inside.
On the inside. All right, sorry.
Excuse me.
It's good. Derailing already. That's
yes.
Good stuff.
What is the origin of the name Kev_WoW?
All right, So the Kev comes from when I was a smart-ass 16-year-old, and I decided that I wanted to have a Shadow Priest, and I'm, like, sitting at the name character screen, pressing randomize, and thinking these all suck. And so then I decided to look up doctors on, I think Wikipedia was around then, I used Google or something, and Kevorkian popped up, and I'm like, this is great! I'm going to be a Shadow Priest, and I'll name myself after the doctor that helps kill people. So, I was Kevorkian.
Dear Lord.
for quite a few years, actually. I was a Shadow Priest for most of my time playing WoW. Until Cataclysm was when I started rolling the Resto Shaman. And it got shortened to Kev eventually, because you can't say that many syllables, and it sounds way too Eastern European for my personality. So, all the Midwinter people call me Kev. And that's obviously taken on Twitter, so all the other WoW people that I was following at the time and just appended a WoW on the end of it. That's where I came up with that.
Nice.
Seems to be a lot of underscore WoW or underscore like your guild name or something like that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I was nervous, but now I have your validation. So.
Well, you know, not all of us can get our actual legit name on Twitter. I had another Rob Copeland start following me on Twitter not too long ago, and his handle was The Rob Copeland, and he works for the Wall Street Journal, and he followed me for about 6 months, and a couple of times asked me if I was going to be giving up my handle anytime soon. I was like, I am not. So, sorry.
An offer to sell it to him?
No, I mean, no. I don't think he... No, I just...
Wall Street Journal, he's got to be making six figures.
I don't know. He seems... No offense, he seemed a bit of a scrub.
Oh.
You know? Whatever. You sorry. I'm like... Anytime he posted something, I was just, like, disappointed that there's this other Rob Copeland out there, you know, posting foolishness. I'm supposed to be the one posting stupid stuff on Twitter, not this other guy.
Yes.
What would you say is your most fond memory in or because of Warcraft?
So it was definitely that first group of friends I started playing with. I didn't have very many close friends growing up, but when WoW came out, we had an excuse for most weekends during school to go have a huge-ass LAN party at, like, a rotation of our houses. So at least a couple times a month, we would have 8 to 12 guys to get together and hook up in a Switch and, like, just game out all night drinking Mountain Dew. And those are basically the only things that got me through high school, was getting to eventually raid and PvP and do all the high-level stuff with these guys that I knew in real life. And some of them still play, and that's basically why I'm still playing, is because that's what my friends do, too.
Nice.
For a specific memory... Killing Blackhand was the first time I've ever raided at anything at that sort of level. Like, I'd always been raider, and always been hardcore raider. Like, I usually cleared the content before I was nerfed majorly. But Killing Blackhand this past tier was just amazingly mind-blowing. Like, I had never spent 2 weeks, 14 hours a day, working so hard towards a goal, and then having it happen. And just the feeling of relief and satisfaction that comes with that is just incredible.
Wow. I can't even imagine raiding that much. This blows my mind.
I think it's kind of awesome, though, but it's, like, intense, man. It's just, like,
a lot. And the thing is, like, people think you're so stressed out the whole time, but I don't know. I was actually kind of relaxed the whole time. Because I pretty much like everyone in the guild, so we're still just hanging out all together. It's just like we're camping or something. We're just, it's a longer period of time.
The thing that you hear about Midwinter a lot is just, like, you guys, like, really work hard to facilitate a culture that's, like, everybody's just pretty cool, pretty laid back, you know, just, like, having fun, kind of, you know, and I just, like, I admire that. I think that's cool. That's that. Something that is kind of not super common in games like this that are, you know, so tense, you know.
I totally agree. And, like, that's the only reason I was willing to apply in the first place, was I was lucky enough to do some PTR boss testing with them, because they needed to fill some spots for siege testing. And I was really blown away by just how relaxed and how much fun everyone was having. And I'm like, okay, maybe I could actually be part of this top US guild sort of progression, because I wouldn't hate people that I was playing with for so long.
Yeah, totally.
Nice. Yep. What are you looking forward to in 6.2?
So as a healer, the thing I am looking forward to are trinkets. We are finally going to have a whole set of really cool trinkets to choose from, and it's not... Hymol and BRF have had horrible, horrible trinkets, and it's been really boring for that. The bosses, we'll have to wait and see. We've gotten to do some mythic testing already, but you can't really know until you're at the correct gear level and all the balance passes right. have been done exactly how it's going to feel.
Yeah, totally.
But we have, like, 8 trinkets to choose from, possibly, and I'm just really excited about that.
Oh, wow.
You don't hear a lot of people say that trinkets is, like, the thing that they're stoked on.
They did a really good job with the balance and the ideas behind some of them. They have some really unique ones coming out that, depending on how good they are, we'll see if people get to play with them.
Hmm. Cool.
What would you say is your most favorite raid boss of all time?
So I was thinking about this question, and it's too hard. I can't answer it. But
it is.
Some highlights are definitely being a healer on a Nubarak in TOC was really, really fun for me. That was the most triage fight in the world. And so if you don't remember it, in phase 3 of the fight, there's a ticking debuff that does a percentage of your current HP. So the raid gets to really low percentage HP very quickly. And then there's also this other debuff that comes out that'll kill people at that low HP, and you have 1.5 seconds to react, and there were like 6 of them that went out. So just as a healer, it was probably the first really stressful experience I had of you need to heal, but you can't heal too much because that'll do bad things to the boss if you heal too much.
Mm-hmm.
And you also need to save people's lives in the shortest window possible. And for healing, that's like the exact perfect situation of where you can feel really good at the game and you're really helping out the raid as the most possible. So that one was really, really fun to me. Other really good raid bosses. Lich King progression was obviously just amazing. Like, that fight was crazy. Did you guys get to do that one?
No.
No, I actually didn't start raiding until Blackwing Descent. It was kind of my first...
Okay.
The first real dipping my toe in the raiding waters.
I really liked Omnitron in that place.
Omnitron. The second boss.
The robot council.
Yeah, the
four robots. And that's because when I was a Shadow Priest right then, and I was DPSing, and that was like the best fight to be a scumbag patter on. In, like, the whole game.
Oh, yeah. Dude, yeah, with, like, because they just kept swapping out, and you could just keep tagging them.
Yeah, so you could, like, refresh your dots right before they swap out, even though it's useless damage. And then you could, like, damage the poison one, and he'd give you a damage buff as you hurt yourself to mm-hmm. make the raid harder, but you would do more damage. And then you had to, like, stand in these puddles that made you take damage, but you also dealt more damage when you did it. It was just great to be a horrible raider for.
That's awesome. Hilarious.
That's part of the reason I swapped to healing is because I learned that I'm just selfish DPSer.
That's too funny.
Sweet. What's your favorite thing to do in game right now?
Right now, I'm really liking mythic raiding on alts. So I have one of each healer, and you get kind of bored of playing the same healer on the same fights over and over again. So it's really cool to swap in some new guy that you've been putzing around in his garrison for a few months and get to go and do most of the bosses on Mythic and just talk to your other healer friends who tell you how to play basically the whole time. And it's really fun just learning how they do it and the little tricks you need to learn for dealing with mechanics.
Mm-hmm. Right on. All right. Well, I guess that concludes the interview portion of the show. So,
this is Mizume from Whatever You're Awesome, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
Alright, so Resto Shaman. I have been playing a Resto Shaman since Molten Core. This wow. recent raid tier, I over-recruited healers. it was kind of by accident. I didn't intend to recruit as many as I did, but because I did, I'm now like backup healer. But I still have I'm on the runes section of the legendary quest on my shaman, even though I rarely raid with him. But at one point, I got called out in LFR. And that was a real low point in my...
This is like another level. This is
that
like,
was...
like, you're getting beat by the tanks. You're getting beat by shadow priests. Hey, dude, what the heck's going on with you?
I know. And I got called out in LFR, and I couldn't believe it. So we...
Been...
I know.
Well, you've been shaman healing since like...
Molten Core.
What did Resnal say, since 1997?
Yeah, pretty much. Yes, exactly.
But to be fair, Resto Shamans and Molten Core are mostly out of combat resers.
That's true.
Did
yeah,
you
for
have
the,
that job, or is that
I'm trying to think. For the bomb, yeah, I know what you're talking about. The one fight where the living bomb runs out. Yeah, and then they die, and someone stayed out of combat in the back so they could res them. I don't remember if I had that job or not. I can't remember. That was a long time ago.
What a terrible job.
Anyway, so anyway, I talked to... we have another Resto Shaman in our raid team, and I got some pointers from her. So I've gotten better, but she has also requested a Resto Shaman episode, so...
Dude, she's baller. That's why
I... Yeah, she's... I know. She's really good. So anyway... Here we are. Help me not get called out in LFR anymore, because really, that was a low point. I still can't believe that happened. I had a good Scotch buff going on, but still. It shouldn't have happened. So yes, we'll let you kind of, yeah, as Rob said, drive the bus, and we'll interrupt from time to time. But if you want to start with stats and stat priorities and...
Okay. So real quick, before I get started on stats, I guess this ties into mastery. So one of the reasons that shamans in general are bad in LFR is because the raid doesn't take a lot of damage. And so our mastery, especially since we stack it a lot of time most recently, scales with how low the person is that you're healing.
Mm-hmm.
So when the whole raid is like at 80% plus HP for the majority of the fight, shamans are probably the worst healer because we just need people to be taking damage for us to be useful. So in terms of that, we're really, really good at progression because people mess up, stuff is scary, people are still learning how everything works. So our mastery is wonderful. It's the best mastery in the game for progression. And that's why I am full mastery spec'd out even still, because we're playing with alts in our main mythic runs, and so mm-hmm. we need to save as many lives as possible and prevent as many wipes as possible so things still go smoothly. And Resto Shaman Mastery is amazing for that. So my advice is always, now it's the enchants all change and I'm remembering them again, but neck, back, rings,
yeah,
mastery.
Okay.
Yeah, the enchants are a mess right now.
Obviously you're trying to maximize int, and then mastery, haste, MS and creator equal, and then verse. Versatility.
Mastery,
haste. And that's just kind of a general guideline.
So... There's another... Now, this is the way I've been doing it since... I can't remember when. A long time, anyway. But I stack crit normally for the regen portion of it. Is that... Am I just out to lunch? Am I an idiot for doing that now?
That
still?
Was a lot better in Siege of Orgrimmar.
Okay.
But they actually nerfed Resurgence, which is the buff you get when you crit that gives you mana back, going into Warlords by, like, a lot.
So I'm an idiot. Okay, good to know.
You're just behind the times a little bit. It's all right. So if you you can actually go to your log and check out your mana resources gained,
mm-hmm.
and you can see exactly how much you're getting by Resurgence for each fight. And so, like, I'll get, like, 40k or something, which is non-zero, but over the course of an 8-minute fight, it's really minor overall.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have a look at that, but it appears I need to re-enchant and gem everything. All right.
So, yeah, the goal, if you're in farm and you have all your mains in the whole time, you probably don't need to stack mastery anymore because people aren't dying unless you're going to underheal stuff. So then you'd probably want to go haste and multi-strike. And crit's fine. Like, if crit's on a piece, it's fine, but you don't want to gem or enchant for it.
Right, okay.
Am I the only one that feels like stats this expansion kind of, like, are just whatever?
They barely matter anymore.
Like, I mean, obviously, yes, you want whatever's best for your class, but it's like, you don't really get to pick. I mean, until you get to the point where you're bleeding gear because you killed the content so many times, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, there's no reforging, and there's only two options per slot. So you basically just pick the best stat and go with that one, and then everything else, you go off high level. It's actually kind of annoying.
Sorry, tangent.
And yes. That's completely related. The other thing to worry about is a healer's regen, and everyone has their own preferences for how things work, but in general, everyone uses way too much spirit, way too many regen trinkets than they need, just because it makes them feel more comfortable. But if you are truly min-maxing a fight, you want just enough spirit to barely get you through it, counting a few extra needed for healing surges or whatever you're going to need along the way.
Right.
So what I'm currently going with is just spirit on every off piece, one static spirit trinket, which is Crucible off Black Hand, and then I'm running a throughput trinket for the other slot. And that's enough regen for every fight to just go through and not have to worry about swapping them too much.
Right, okay.
But add to taste, you probably need even less than that if you're doing LFR and you're healing correctly.
Wow. Apparently
what
I'm
if,
not.
What if your raid? What if your raid just stands in everything all the time?
Yeah. So the worse things are going, and the more like triage band-aid stuff you have to do, the more mana you're going to spend, and it's going to be less smooth for sure. Then you just add an extra spirit buff around there and have that pull you through. You just got to realize every time you do that, you're also healing weaker. So
yeah.
Right. Okay.
So for talents?
Talents. Now this is my favorite part of any class we do, but what we like to do is just go through tier by tier. So start with 15, 30, and just what's the best talent or what situation you might use this talent over that talent kind of thing. If you want to run through them like that.
Yeah. I think some of the tiers, like, it doesn't matter if it's a... nonsense or PvP talent or something, but yeah. Well,
okay. I can be methodical. Let's do it.
Alright.
So, 15 for Shaman. Nature's Guardian. Complete trash. Don't ever use that. It's never going to save your life.
That's the passive one, right?
Yeah, so that's a... Should I read the tooltips too?
If it's crap, then it's crap.
Yeah, a lot of classes have that, but it's just when you get knocked below 30%, you get 25% max HP. There might be a situation in the world where it's useful, but if you're going to die in these days, it's
probably not in a raid, because if you're taking that much damage, then that's probably not going to be the clincher.
Yeah, that's usually not going to save your life. Stone Bulwark Totem's the other one, which used to be pretty good, but now the absorb is like 25k absorb, and it takes a global cooldown, and it takes mana, and it's on a 1-minute cooldown, so that's trash. So you basically use Astral Shift for everything. Which is 40% DR for 6 seconds.
What if I'm still behind the times and became comfortable with Stone Bulwark and Siege and don't want to let it go?
Be honest.
Let it go?
Be honest.
Then people in an LFR will be able to look down on you, and you're just going to have to live with that.
Burn. If you're okay with people in LFR looking down.
Because I did. I became comfortable with it. I'm comfortable dropping it every minute just to keep it on cooldown. But if it got nerfed, see, I don't know these nerfs. I don't pay attention that much. All right. Okay, first tier. I need to change talent already.
Progress, man.
Good to know.
Next tier is generally not really relevant for raiding. So there's your Frost Shock and Freeze people, which you don't even have the best route, so whatever. There's Earth Grab Totem, which might be useful in some situations, except they gave Druids a better one. So if you need to mass entangle something, you use mass entanglement. And then there's Windwalk Totem, which has usually one or two uses per tier, but I honestly can't think of anything outside trash in BRF that it's used for. But I usually just keep that one up and make sure you have a key bound just in case. There's a few on for next tier, so you're going to want to make sure you know how to remember to use that.
Okay. I'll remember. I have that one, by the way.
Sweet. Progress. All right. 45 tier. This one is almost completely preference.
Okay.
The technical max throughput one is called All the Elements because it gives you an extra couple healing stream totems per fight, which is usually the only relevant totem you use it on.
Right. Okay.
Totemic persistence is good if you keep accidentally pressing healing stream totem after your healing tide totem and cancel it.
That's why I have that talent.
Yeah. So if you want to be lazy and not think about stuff, just take that one, and that's another thing you don't have to worry about.
Yes.
See, I don't know if it's necessarily, like, being lazy, but it is definitely, like, dude, accidents happen.
Yeah, don't read too many negative connotations into that. I call myself a lazy person all the time. It's just, you know, if you don't want to have to worry about another button to press, that one will be fine, and you won't even notice on meters or saving lives, really.
Well,
the one I use, though, is...
Okay, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, this is another where I became comfortable with it in Siege, because not only that, we also had Mana Tide, Healing Tide, Healing Stream, so that was three, where I was constantly, you know, wiping out either my Mana Tide or my Healing Tide with my Healing Stream, so that is why I picked up Persistence when they changed it to this.
Well, and Healing Stream was a lot better in Siege, too.
It
was
a much bigger
portion of your breakdown, so even cutting that off was bad, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays I use Totemic Projection, and that's just 100% for throwing SLT, which is one of the more advanced things for Shamans to do, but when there's high raid damage going out, and a lot of the times you'll have a melee stack and a range stack, you put down SLT, it hits the range stack so all their HP is equalized, and then you throw it into melee, and try to make sure you hit the tanks too with it, and then they're all sharing HP, and they're getting 10% DR. And there's a lot of situations in the current raid where that's really useful. It's technically less HPS than Call of the Elements, because it's not actually an HPS increase to do that, except, you know, chain heal will overheal less. But, you know, it saves more lives than an extra healing streak will do.
Okay.
Next tier. Okay. This one is even more... personal preference, and this one comes into, like, your healing philosophy and what you think, like, what you are a healer for. Like, there's a lot of deep questions that could be answered with the level 60 tier.
Nice.
I love that.
You start off with Elemental Mastery, which is the 2-minute cooldown for 30% haste for 20 seconds. So this one is for Patter Scumlords. What it'll do is it'll make your Healing Tide Totem, most people just macro it into Healing Tide Totem, just heal more during that period of time. And you'll pick up basically all the other healing that your other healers were trying to do during that time, just because your Healing Tide is healing it first.
Okay.
It's maybe useful. Like, the main thing I consider when trying to evaluate talents is how many lives is this going to save, how many wipes is it going to prevent, because for us, at least, the most important thing is to prevent a wipe.
Right.
And I can think of very few situations where this will do that, but your numbers will be higher. So, you know, weigh that as you will.
Hi.
Ancestral...
I'm not going to lie. Okay, no, next.
I should have been more excited about this episode. I didn't even realize it.
Yeah. And so Ancestral Swiftness is my one of choice because of the reason I just said. So you get passive 5% haste, which really is undervalued by a lot of people, especially for the first tier of a new expansion, because with the rating to percentage conversion, 5% is a lot of eye level, if you will. It's a lot of gear value. And then every 1.5 minutes, you also get an instant cast spell. So this is really, really good for the most dangerous situations of the fight, right? You pop Ascendance, and then you get a whole extra chain heal during that Ascendance because you can make an instant cast one. Or if someone messes up on a mechanic and they need to be healed within a second, you need to... This and Nature Swiftness and Lay on Hands are the only things that are going to work.
Right.
So I use this for basically all of progression, and if you're really paying attention and you're really geared in and you're really hopped up on caffeine like I am, it'll be the best way of the 60 talent tree to save people's lives.
Okay. This is actually the...
So, you have to be hyper, though.
Yeah, you have to be, like, insanely paying attention to people at all times.
Well, shoot.
The exact opposite of the lazy totemic resistance.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're not getting as much value out of it.
Well, this is actually the one I have, and I've... in this tier, I've never tried anything else because the more we talk, the more I'm realizing that I'm stuck in the past in this silly game with my Resto Shaman. But I picked this one because when it was called Nature Swiftness, way back when, I've had it since then, and I've liked it since then and relied on it as part of my toolkit, and I've had it macroed with our biggest single target heal. I have it macroed with that always, so if it's my emergency oh crap button for I need an instant heal on that guy now, and I hit that one, so it pops my instant and gives him the biggest heal. So that's why I still have this one, and So
which heal have you macroed it to?
That's what I was gonna say.
What's our current big one? Healing wave or best one? Best single target?
Greater's gone, right? So it's just Healing Wave now?
So this is another situation where you are slightly behind the times, I believe, because...
Well, I'm finding that out, yes.
Healing Wave and Healing Surge, base healing level, are actually equal now. So Healing Surge used to be our expensive fast heal.
Yes.
Healing Wave was the slow, weak heal.
Okay,
and
yes.
Then Greater Healing Wave was the slow, strong heal.
Right.
But now Healing Wave and Healing Surge do the same healing except for your Tidal Wave's buff of 30% crit. But since Ancestral Swiftness doesn't take the mana cost off of it, you're going to want to macro with Healing Wave almost certainly.
Yeah, that is what I have.
Okay.
Yes,
You don't need the shorter cast time. You might as well get the cheaper heal for the same value.
Yeah, no, I have Healing Wave. Whatever our best heal is or whatever.
So that's good. You save people's lives with that.
Yes.
Awesome. Echo of the Elements is one that gets into basically the only thing people argue about with Resto Shamans, and that's, should I use Glyph of Riptide or not? This question is answered for you in 6.2, where you will no longer be using it then, but for current tier, this is still like a relevant thing. And so what Echo does is it gives you two charges of Spirit Link Totem, Riptide, and Unleash Life, and Lava Burst. And that means you can use them twice, one after another, quicker, and the cooldown will start better, and it's easier to just min-max that.
Mm-hmm.
So for Riptide, you can take the Glyph of Riptide off and have two charges of your 5-second cooldown Riptide to help you with your high tide chaining a little bit better.
I'm going to ask a quick question then.
So the other situation where this will be useful is Spirit Link Totem. You get two charges. And that's if there's like a really dangerous phase every 1.5 minutes or twice in the fight closer than 3 minutes apart and you don't have other coverage in your raid to help people live through it. You can get two Spirit Link Totems, which is a pretty good survival cooldown.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens in 6.2 then?
So in 6.2, they're changing how Chain Heal works. Basically, it means... Right now, when you chain heal off a Riptide target, it's 25% stronger.
Yes.
But in 6.2, they're just buffing chain heal by 25% and making it so you don't need a chain heal off a Riptide anymore.
Oh.
So all the Riptide will do for you is high tide procs. So it'll be extra bounces of your chain heal later on. So there's no reason to take such a huge hit to the instant cast healing of Riptide just to... because you don't need a whole bunch of Riptides out, depending on who takes the most damage to chain heal off of them.
Right, okay.
That was the... Man, I used to love the whole, like, making sure to chain heal off of your Riptide target, and that was, like, the cool... You know, it was like, you felt like you were... There was a little bit of... I guess not skill, but maybe a little bit of...
Oh, it's totally skill.
Like, you need to make sure you were doing the right thing, and it kind of, you know, upped the... your game in order to make sure you were getting the most out of your heals there.
It's predicting who would take damage and being efficient with your healing. But the problem is it gets you into really crappy feeling situations sometimes, which I think is why Blizzard changed it. Mm. Because what if you have a target with Riptide at 90% HP, and then there's another target at 70% HP without Riptide? Which one do you heal off of if the whole raid is injured? And that's a hard question for a lot of people to answer, and it also changes, like, second to second, which one you should actually be healing.
Right.
Because our mastery is, you get a stronger heal if it's a lower HP target, and you're saving someone's life that's more likely to die. Or you can do more healing overall, and maybe save, like, maybe you'll get a good bounce or something. So they kind of removed it because it was hard, but I'm going to miss it for sure.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because it's a skill ceiling thing, right? It's something I love doing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's a bummer that they would undo something like that because it feels like it's slowly getting, I mean, there was a lot of discussion about smart heals coming out of Pandaria and how everything was smart heals and they were trying to get away from that. But I feel like the one way that you could always set yourself apart was with the little thing, the little tricks like that where you had to, you know, you had to make the decision to heal the right person at the right time and make sure they have, you know, Riptide or another buff on them before you could actually, get an increase in healing. So it's kind of a bummer to see that. I guess it's all right. Making a big deal out of it.
I feel you there. I mean, shamans will still be fun for me to heal on, but it is. I will miss the predictive nature of it, at least, as you're going to be a little more reactive in 6.2. So, for the next tier, it's Rushing Streams, Ancestral Guidance, and Conductivity. And these three are all kind of doing a different thing. Like, they're all for a different type of fight.
Mm-hmm.
These days, you generally just take Rushing Streams and not worry about it too much. There are a few situations where you might want to look at the other ones for fights, but you could just take Rushing Streams and not have to think, and you'll be fine. Ancestral Guidance got nerfed a ton since Siege. Like, it's really, really weak now.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to the point where it's almost, I can't, like, I've tried it out on PTR and testing and trying to get it to work, and it just, I can't find a situation where it's worth it. Conductivity I ended up using on a few fights in Heimal because we had no regen, and it's primarily an HPM talent. So it's a talent that'll give you more healing per mana you spend, and you save global cooldowns by not casting Healing Rain as much. But honestly, in BRF, Healing Rain itself doesn't even matter a whole lot, so extending it doesn't do much, and as soon as you move out of it, you lose all the benefit of the talent, so you have to be really immobile for it to be worth. So there's not a whole lot of situations where those would be better.
Okay.
So you basically just go with Rushing Streams.
Alright, well, see, I have Conductivity right now. This is what I picked this up after talking with our current Resto Shaman.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't realize that my heals extended it as well. Because when I looked at my talents to decide what talent I wanted, I looked on the website, and I'm looking at the website right now, Warcraft's website, and it says nothing about heals extending it, so I'd have never even considered it before. But knowing that now, I do enjoy this talent. And it is the only weak aura I currently use, is to track if my healing rain is still up, and based on this. But yes, I see what you're saying about the, and I have seen that situation where it's, you know, you drop your healing rain and you're trying to keep it extended and then everyone moves. It's like, well, damn it, now what? I gotta drop it over here and then they move. And then it's like, well, this is just dumb.
And the other tricky part about using it, right, is that so many of your global cooldowns aren't spent on healing wave, healing surge, or chain heal.
Mm-hmm.
Because currently, with how you're healing, a lot of it is spent on Riptide and Healing Stream Totem.
And, yeah.
And Healing Rain. So, I actually haven't done the math very much recently about how much I was actually getting extended and how much that was useful, but when I was first looking at it for this expansion, I was getting maybe an extra 8 seconds to 10 seconds out of each Healing Rain with this talent. And that was more than having my Healing Stream Totem healing to do that. And that just wasn't worthwhile for me as a trade-off.
Okay.
But I do know a lot of people do make conductivity work, and if you're more comfortable with it and you find it fun, you're not totally gimping yourself. It's just not optimal.
Right. Well, I used to have Rushing Streams. Like, it was just, Number one, it's passive, and that's...
Yeah.
That's always, well, this is passive too, but you got to think about it. Rushing streams, there's no thing. You just drop and you're done. But right. Yeah, I have, now that I've learned what conductivity can do, I do have fun trying to keep it extended and trying to, you know, keep my healing rain going as long as possible. So, but yes, right. I'll now that I know I can go back to rushing streams without getting yelled at, I'll consider that.
That won't be something LFR Raiders can say against you, for sure.
Yes.
For the next tier, Unleashed Fury is a PvP talent. It's not relevant. If it worked off Chain Heal, it might be relevant, but unless we get another fight like Su Long or something, where you need single target burst healing that can't overheal, that will never be viable. Primal Elementalist is what everyone used during Siege, and it's still pretty good, You really need to use Elemental Blast, just because...
I tried.
It gives you so much mana.
I tried.
It's a ridiculous amount of mana to leave that
in.
Primal Elementalist is technically more throughput if you gear it completely perfectly and you're not going to But when there's multiple fights and with no reforging and... when you're progressing through and you don't have a whole bunch of gear sets to choose from, it's just, it's way harder to make work perfectly.
Okay.
That said, Earth Elemental is very, very good for the minute long of 20% damage mitigation. So if you don't have mana problems, like if you got fed a whole bunch of double regen trinkets or whatever, you can like live longer and maybe you'll save some lives with Earth Elite Totem, and then Fire Elite Totem will do more damage, and you can push like that extra 1% so you don't hit Berserk on that fight. Like, there are ways it might work, but
Elemental
Blast is better. So you should probably just... it's easier to use, and as long as you remember every 12 seconds that it's up again.
Well, yeah, that's it. Like, I was trying to fit it in to my rotation or my heals, and I would always forget, because I'm not used to it. Like, it's something entirely new to me. This is another one of the talents that I did not realize it gave me spirit, because the tooltip on the website does not say spirit at all. So this is another one where our Resto Shaman in our raid clued me in to what this talent can do, and it is mind-blowing just how much spirit you actually get from it. Like, I was amazed and like, wow, that's a lot, but I couldn't make it work. It was... I don't know. I'm just old, and it's too hard to change old habits.
This is solvable, right? You just delete the conductivity weak ore and put the elemental blast one right there. Make it like light up and shiny every time that's off cooldown to remind you to use it again.
Kev, ask him about weak ores.
Why do you hate weak ores? It's the best mod in the game.
Yeah, I didn't even say it, but yeah, that's it.
Weak ores are for the weak.
That's true. It's casual gaming.
Yeah, right. No hardcore raiders use.
Yeah, totally. It's a crutch.
It ruins your immersion, too.
Yes.
A crutch.
But anyway... I did copy, it is a weak aura string that has many different buffs, so I bet you Elemental Blast is already on that thing there, but since I don't have it talented, maybe I'll give it a try again, but we'll see. At least you've told me that Primal Elementalist is not totally useless, so that's good to know.
Can make it work. Some people might make fun of it for you still, because I'm a little, you know, a little out there in terms of politics on this Primal Elementalist. Like, this is a radical theory right now that's still viable, because basically everyone just uses Elemental Blast and doesn't really think about it.
Yeah. Maybe I'll give it a try again. We'll see. But it's good to know.
For the level 100... yeah, it's good to know. For the level 100 talents, Cloudburst Totem, it worked in Heimal. Like, I used it for a few bosses in Heimal. But it's really, like, the hardest thing. Like, if you want to really min-max a Cloudburst Totem playstyle, that's probably the hardest thing in the entire game, and it's also impossible to do correctly. And you will do less healing now with all the buffs to High Tide recently, but there might be a chance that coming back again, so I keep playing with it every once in a while to make sure. But it's really hard. So basically how it works is all the healing you do over a 15-second period of time explodes at the end of it for 20% of all the healing done split evenly between your entire raid. So you can heal during a period of time, and then if the raid's going to take a burst, you explode the totem. But it's very, very difficult and clunky, as people hate to hear, to use. So it's almost always better just to go with High Tide, which is a higher throughput increase and makes your train heal godly. Storm Elemental Totem, they didn't tune it for restoration. Like, you use it as elemental on some fights, and I don't know if Enhance uses it, but it doesn't do anything for healing. It's horrible.
Good to know.
High Tide is a surprisingly complicated talent. So I don't even know what it says. Okay, I think on the webs, the WoW, you really got to use WoWhead, man. Like, you can't be reading off the main website.
It's their own game. It's their game. Like, come on.
Yeah, but they don't pay anyone to upkeep that stuff. Yeah. They can barely keep the patch.
I know. I know.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so High Tide is actually really complicated. But the main thing, like, the first effect it has is they nerf Chain Heal, and then this brings it back to its unnerfed status of each bounce doesn't diminish to the next target. So it doesn't get weaker. So that adds some math situations, and it just makes it feel better to use. So if when you get unlucky bounces, you don't get totally messed up because of them. The other weird interaction is it bounces up to two additional targets affected by your Riptide, not including the one you healed off of. So theoretically, your best chain heal is going to be a 6-bounce chain heal instead of the regular 4-bounce chain heal, because you have Riptides on other injured targets. And that's the main reason I like using the Riptide Glyph, is because it really frees up your global cooldowns to choose when you put those Riptides out before damage is coming up, instead of having to basically use it every 5 seconds when it comes off cooldown. And since you have so many things you need to do at different cooldown periods, like Elemental Blast, Refresh Healing Rain, Refresh Healing Stream Totem, and then Chain Heals for the actual damage, I like having more choice in my global cooldowns and to try to maximize the amount of 6-bounce Chain Heals I can get.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So that's how the talent works, and everyone takes it because the other two are either hard, bad, or hard to use. But overall, I think it's a really good talent. It added a lot of that depth coming into Warlords, so at least thinking about who you're putting your Riptides on a little bit.
This is another one Oh, go ahead, Rob.
No, I was going to say, I remember before it was, you didn't have to think about it. Your Riptides went on the tanks, and that was kind of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And also before you had your 10% HP buff that you needed to roll on the tanks more than anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. This is another one of the talents where I was clued in by our resident Resto Shaman in our raid. So, because I had Cloudburst, and it was effective for me in Heimal.
Yeah.
But yeah, she clued me into High Tide, so that is what I use now. So definitely. So.
It's much better, especially with our tier bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
So our two-piece copies the same strength and bounce number of your earlier chain heal, so you have a percent chance to proc in the second chain heal. So if you get a 6-bounce chain heal and then your 2-piece procs, you get a 12-bounce chain heal.
Dang.
Oh, wow. I don't have insane. Any set pieces. Okay.
Just look at it. It's because you don't play your shaman very much.
It's because I over-recruited healers.
I just have to recruit more DPS to make up for it.
Yeah. I know. We need ranged. All right. What glyphs should we be using? Because I'm expecting I've got some incorrect glyphs here as well.
So shamans don't really change glyphs. You always use Glyph of Healing Stream Totem, which is reduces fire, frost, nature damage taken by someone for 6 seconds by 10% if they get healed with your Healing Stream Totem. So that's just basic DR for the raid. But there's no reason to ever get rid of that, really. You can use Glyph of Riptide if you want to. If you don't want to, then you have a free glyph slot, but there's nothing really to replace it with. The other one I use most of the time is Glyph of Healing Wave, which is when you cast Healing Wave, you get 10% of the healing back to you, which is very, very small. But on a fight where I'm using Healing Wave a lot, it might heal me for 300k, 400k in the end, so that's pretty good.
Okay.
Other possible glyphs are like edge cases of Dispel Glyph. So sometimes you're going to want the Dispel Glyph that gives you two charges on your Dispel, so you can do them one after another and not have to wait for the full 8-second cooldown.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Oh,
and then
I did not realize that. Okay.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. And then the other possible one is Spirit Walkers, which is, there's three glyphs that change how Spirit Walkers works, which is your cast while moving ability. One increases the duration, which is nice, I guess, but most people just macro it with Ascendance anyway, so that's not particularly useful. The other one reduces the cooldown by 60 seconds, but also cuts its duration in half. And that one's actually really good on a lot of fights. If you're going to be moving about every minute, then you can just Spirit Walkers each time. Even though we have Fox these days, you know, it's nice. Another glyph that might see you sometimes is Cleansing Waters is the one that heals the target when you dispel them. So if you don't need two dispels and you just have a free glyph slot, you can use that on a couple fights like Beast Lord. It's just to get a little bit extra healing on the person that just took damage because they had a debuff.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I don't think I really used any other glyphs. We used to use Totemic Recall, but it got nerfed so much that it's honestly not worth it anymore. It's not worth the global cooldown to use Totemic Recall at the button.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was like a huge part of the rotation was, you know, for movement to pull your totems back in for mana regen. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, like, if you were really on top of it back in Siege, and you got a clear casting proc and nothing else to cast, you'd put, like, a Magma Totem down. And then when you're recalling your Healing Stream Totem later, you get extra mana back from that.
Ouch, that's awesome.
And you could also recall your Fire and Earth Ellies right before they went away, and you got mana back from that. And there used to be a lot of gameplay there, but they didn't like it, so they nerfed it to help.
That's good, because I couldn't get it.
That's what I'm talking about, skill cap, though.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, if people are able to play to that level, that's awesome. I don't understand why take that away. I mean, it's not, I don't know, is it making it hard on people that can't do that?
I honestly don't know the reasoning. I don't know if I've even read good reasoning besides maybe...
It's too hard.
Yeah, maybe it increased reliance on weak auras, and they just don't like weak auras because it ruins your immersion.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. Yeah. Let's go with that. Yeah. Let's go with that.
All right. Basically it for glyphs.
Okay.
Single target healing. So shamans have probably the best burst single target healing in the game. So if someone's at 10% HP and you have less than 2 seconds to heal them,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to lay on hands them, the shaman's the best person to do that. Because they don't need a hot on them ahead of time. You can just cast a healing surge, and because of your mastery, you'll do like 200k healing. It'll be ridiculous.
Oh, nice.
The problem is, we're also probably the least efficient at single target healing, so it costs a whole lot of mana for us to do that. That's why one of the reasons we're horrible tank healers, because we just can't do it consistently very much without spending all of our global cooldowns doing that and not doing the thing we're good at, which is chain heal. So there's a real opportunity cost to do it, but if we need to save someone's life for something like Iron Maidens, mm-hmm. where there's really weird burst damage coming out and you know someone's a high priority target, you can be the one to save their life there. But as far as the rotation, I know you don't want to use Unleash Life on rotation because you just waste mana and global cooldowns that way. You're basically just keeper tied up on them and Healing Wave, and that's most of the options you have. And Surge, if they're going to die faster than your Healing Wave would get there.
For single target?
For single target.
Okay, gotcha.
Not AoE healing.
Okay. Like, sounds about right.
Okay. For AoE healing, I kind of went into it a little bit on High Tide, but if there are going to be five targets damaged for about 10 seconds, So there's just consistent random damage or whatever on the group. You put healing rain down, and that'll be pretty efficient healing for that.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike Siege, healing rain isn't your best healing spell anymore. Chain heal does way more HPS than it these days. So the main thing for AoE healing is just keeping a Riptide out on the main target you're going to want to heal, and then keeping two more Riptides out if you can. Three is better, just to get the extra chance of more bounces on your chain heal. The key is you need to be setting these things up before the major raid damage happens, because when the extra raid damage happens, it's not worth the global cooldown to be trying to get extra bounces on your chain heals. Then you just need to have chain heal spam off your Riptide target, and if they get to full HP, you chain heal other people until everyone's full again. Other than that stuff, the main things you need to remember are healing stream totem, trying to use it on cooldown, and mental blast, trying to use it on cooldown, and spot healing and keeping or shield up as needed on the tank.
Right, okay. So when unleash life, like, just never use that, or use it on chain heal only?
That's a really niche case, because like we're global cooldown capped, basically. Like, you've noticed this with conductivity and everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's almost always something we can be doing that'll increase our throughput later on.
Yes.
More than an unleashed life would. I think the only thing I consistently use it on was Gruul for the Infernal Slices, because no one's really taking damage for like 10 seconds ahead of time. So you can set up 3 or 4 Riptides on the group that's going to take the slice, and then unleash, and then queue up your chain heal in the middle of its Infernal Slice cast. And that'll make it so as soon as that damage hits, you can get the maximum strength chain heal out. And then I use it in Phase 1 Black Hand, just as like a min-max sort of thing, because I know exactly when the big demolitions are going to hit. And I had an extra global cooldown sometimes to make a chain heal a little bit stronger.
Okay.
But you almost never use it on single target healing, and if people are actually hurt in the raid, you should basically cast anything else besides that that'll heal them.
Okay. Alright.
It's also good when you're moving, and for some reason you don't have a Fox or a Spirit Walkers.
Mm-hmm.
It's non-zero healing, and it'll make you run faster, so it's good for that.
Okay.
How often were you using Unleash Life?
Not as often. I don't use it on cooldown, for sure. Like,
okay.
But I'm always like, well, I should be using this because, well, it's Siege. Like, you'd cast that, then you'd cast your Healing Rain, right?
Right.
Where...
Well, right now, it doesn't work on Healing Rain anymore.
I know. I know that much.
Okay.
Don't worry. I do know that much. But all I'm right. just... You know, it's so it's... I was always trying to figure out, well, I know I don't need it on my Healing Rain anymore, but where should I be using this? Like,
yeah.
It just felt like I should be using it more often.
It is kind of a trap ability, right?
It's mm-hmm.
You feel like it feels good to use it because you're like, oh, I'm buffing up the spell when I need it the most, and I'll probably save mana, and it'll feel good. But just the way it's tuned, it almost never works that way. It's almost better just to cast a chain heal instead.
Right.
If it was off the global cooldown, you would use it almost on cooldown, I'm sure. Like, it would be great. But because you spend a whole 1+ seconds setting it up, it's not really worth it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now this is going to sound totally noob, and this is totally nothing to do with Shaman.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I know what Fox is, but can you just clarify for maybe someone who's listening who doesn't know, not me, but someone who might not know otherwise?
Oh my gosh.
So Aspect of the Fox is an ability that hunters gained to give the whole raid basically Spirit Walker's Grace for 6 seconds. I think it's 6 seconds. So the whole raid can cast while moving, while that ability is a buff that's on them. It's something that's really, really good to have a weak aura for, so you can know when you're running that you can cast at the same time. Thankfully for you, it's going, and all those listeners that don't know what it is, it's going away in 6.2.
Oh, okay.
So you won't have to worry about it anymore.
I'm not going to worry about it anymore then.
Yeah, but it it basically trivialized a whole lot of movement problems people were having because...
Oh, okay.
For high damage intake phases while you were moving, you would just Fox there.
Right, okay.
It made life a lot easier for Resto Druids, because they could line it up with their Tranquility and channel that while they ran. But screw them, they don't need that anymore.
Yeah, no one likes Druids anyway.
Filthy tree huggers.
All right. Okay, then the major cooldowns. This is... Yeah, you'll love this. Anyway, so let's go into the major cooldowns. What are they?
Alright. The major, major cooldown is Healing Tide Totem, which love is iconic that. And wonderful. And what that does is it heals your whole raid for an equal amount for over 8 seconds. And it's a set it and forget it, so you can keep healing while it's out. And it's pretty good. It's actually the second weakest of the 3-minute throughput cooldowns, but because it's not a channel, and because you can throw it, so it's a huge range, it's very useful on a lot of mechanics. Ascendance is your second one, which duplicates your healing as healing split between your entire raid. So it means if you heal someone for 10,000, it'll do math, smaller amount to the whole raid at the same time. That's why it's really good. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Finish.
That's why it's really good to line it up with Spirit Link Totem. Because it's healing the whole raid evenly for small amounts, it tends to overheal a whole lot. So if you can line it up with your Spirit Link, with your Healing Officer, the whole raid will be at a steady health pool level. So when you chain heal someone and then spread it out with Ascendance, it'll heal the whole raid evenly. And that's much more efficient.
Okay, because ever since Ascendance has come into the game, it doesn't matter what spec it is, I've never liked it. I've never seen much value in it. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it's that impressive for a 3-minute cooldown. Like in my Enhanced Shaman, I know I've been yelled at before for this. But for Enhanced, I get to push a button twice for the whole thing. I get to push a button 2 times, and that's what that cooldown does for me. It's like, that's lame. And then for Resto, it just never seemed to do that much, or I just never thought it did that much. It doesn't seem that impressive to me. So what am I doing wrong with Ascendance? Like, why is it so good?
So, major thing is, damage is kind of bursty, so it's hard to get Ascendance to work right, because it's a 15-second buff, and it's doing small amounts of healing to your entire raid within a range around you. So using SLT with it is really good. But the other thing is, your whole raid needs to be damaged, and that just doesn't happen a whole lot without a major 3-minute cooldown coinciding with it in Blackrock Foundry. Mm-hmm. So normally, someone's going to be tranking, there's going to be a revival or a healing tide when you would want to Ascendance, and you can basically cover everything with those. But Ascendance can fill in the gaps between those depending on your healing comp. And if you set it up correctly, and it's something like a Chromog Breath, where people are in an SLT, and you're casting Chicken Heal on a Riptide target during it, you'll do a good amount of healing for that period of time. But it is definitely much weaker than it used to be, and it's a little finicky to try to get it to really feel efficient.
Okay.
And you also have really poor visual feedback of it actually doing more healing. You have to really look in the logs to see whether that was a good Ascendance or not, most of the time.
Yeah, I don't look at logs all that much. I look at the graphs and go, oh, cool, I out-healed him and him. And
well, you can look at the SCADA breakdown too, right? You can just click a button in the raid.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The other major cooldown is Spirit Link Totem, which I've said a lot.
Yes.
That redistributes health around you, and it's 10% damage reduction. That's pretty good. It's probably the worst damage reduction, because it's only 10%, so it's pretty weak compared to Barrier and Devo Aura. But the redistribution can be really, really good on certain mechanics, especially ones that damage you over time for a lot of HP, because it'll bring up the lowest health target to a manageable level so they won't die in the next hit of something.
Right.
When you throw it into the melee, it can also be used as a mini sort of tank cooldown, but that can also backfire sometimes, but in general, it's pretty decent at that, so that if the tanks are getting spiked really hard and none of the melee are taking damage, at the very least, the tanks will go up to like 50 or 70% HP every second, just to give a little extra buffer on their HP. That's basically it, unless I forgot something, for cooldowns.
Well, if you took the Talent Primal Elementalist, I guess you have a couple other ones there, but
yeah.
Apparently you don't want to take that talent, so...
Not a whole lot. You can make it work, but it's not the best talent. You,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeez.
I'm stuck in my ways.
Hey, I was for a long time on a lot of classes, and you just gotta just go for it, man.
Yeah, I know.
The game's not the same as it was, you know, whatever, 2 years ago.
No, it's not.
Really, it's... The problem is that there's no Twitch streamers that do Resto Shaman, right? You can't open Twitch and try to learn how people are doing it these days anymore. It's hard.
Oh, I didn't watch Twitch anyway, so...
Oh, okay.
Well, there's your problem. I do watch some streamers, but, yeah, I mean, most streamers are pretty open to, like, if you have questions and whatnot, but...
For sure.
But, I don't know, like, the... I think streaming is probably popular with people who have a little more time. You know, we're freaking old men with kids and jobs and, you know, all that stuff, so it's like...
Does it really get in the way of your rating progression, I have to say?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some nonsense.
It's about priorities.
Foolishness. Dang kids.
Okay, so...
In terms of...
Yeah, advanced tips and tricks. What can we do to take this to the next level?
Okay. So I've already kind of thrown in a lot of these. Mm-hmm. But the major ones are, like, SLT projection. So the thing with SLT is it's a little weird in that it spawns to the back left of your feet. So, and its diameter is about the same as Healing Rain. I think it's exactly the same, but it doesn't look the same. And so when you're throwing it somewhere, you need to take in mind that it's not going to be exactly on the reticle that you click for where you're throwing it to. And you also need to keep in mind how wide it is when you're trying to aim, how many people are going to be sitting in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of got to practice and get used to that, but like make sure you look where it's actually going and make sure it's actually hitting the tanks in some melee when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Other tricks are using Unleash Life when you move and precasting it in situations where no one else is taking damage and you have your Riptides out and Elemental Blast isn't on cooldown and Healing Shield Toad isn't on cooldown. So very rarely, but sometimes it's good to mid-max with that. High Tide Bounces is another one. Where you can really, there's a really, really high skill cap for each fight mechanic on who do you think is going to be taking damage. Do I need to be chain healing the melee cluster mostly, or a range cluster mostly? Or am I just going to keep Riptides on the tanks because they're getting spiked a whole lot, and I want to make sure a bounce goes their way each time I mm-hmm. heal them? Like, depending on who do you think is the most likely to die is generally how you're going to want your high tide bounces to go. Other than that, it's like, the major thing people can work on usually is Healing Stream Totem times, so making sure you're using that as many times in a fight as you can, and its most effective points. And then Elemental Blast, because if you're not using that when you have downtime, you're just giving up free mana and a little bit of throughput. Then there's stuff like Ancestral Swiftness Maximization, where technically you shouldn't macro it to a single target spell, because a lot of the time I'm using it on Chain Heal.
Right.
Chain Heal's a long cast, and if someone's going to die, and the whole raid is damaged, but they're the ones that are going to die, usually, if they have a Riptide on them and you instant cast a Chain Heal, that'll save their life enough for almost every mechanic. You very rarely have to get people to 100% HP. So if you instant cast a Chain Heal, you do more raid-wide healing, so everyone else gets more healing too, and you'll save that person.
Okay, so I need to rewrite my macro, okay?
Well, my official advice would be not to have a macro.
No. Yeah, but then I gotta click two things for the instant, and it just gets complicated.
That's true. That's why my instant or Nature Swiftness macro is or keybind is on Q. It's a really, really high priority keybind, but I like being able to do it quickly and being able to not have to think about where my fingers are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like if you don't have a time during the fight where you're worried about people getting spiked down, you just use it during Ascendance, and it's more for healing to get duplicated to your whole raid.
Right, okay.
Other than that, Shaman's pretty simple, so there's not a whole lot of min-max for straight throughput you can do. It's mostly just decision-making and getting used to how the damage is going to come in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have some things to work on, clearly. Some talents to change.
yeah, we all got to work on stuff. I'm trying to learn these new PTR bosses, and it takes some getting used to trying to think about. Shamans really have to plan ahead of time for a lot of things coming. Because, to do maximum healing during, say, a 4-second window, which with bursty damage, that's what happens, you need to have a healing rain down already, have a healing stream totem down already, multiple riptides out. You need to ideally have either an unleashed life or your elemental blast buff up, because that's more healing. And then be pre-casting chain heal before the damage actually hits. So you can plan this thing back 8-9 seconds to try to get the perfect setup for this burst damage coming. And the main advanced players, that's what they're doing. They're planning each thing in the fight and trying to get ahead of it because they need to. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, since you mentioned PTR, what changes are coming in 6.2 then?
So like I mentioned before, chain heal is going to be way easier to use. So you don't have to worry about healing off a riptide target anymore.
Right.
And that means you can also get rid of the riptide glyph, and you basically just use it on cooldown. So you're basically just going to chain heal off the lowest HP target, and that'll be the best most of the time.
Okay.
Other things are... It's unfortunate you don't have tier, because our tier bonuses right now are really, really, really good. Overpowered, even. And we're losing them. So our next tier is pretty good, but it's not as good as this one.
Okay.
What it's going to do is Riptide's going to have a 50% increased critical strike rating, or critical strike chance. So it's just going to get straight 50% crit added on top of it. So your Riptide's almost always going to crit when you get the two-piece of the next tier. Which has a few benefits. One of the major ones is Resurgence. So we're going to get a lot of mana back, actually, from our Riptides when we cast it. And the other thing is, when you instant cast heal someone with Riptide, it'll do more consistently higher level of healing because it crits almost every time.
Right.
And then our four-piece bonus is going to be... Oh, I'm blanking on it off the top of my head. It was Riptide and... Oh, yeah. When you chain heal someone without a Riptide on them with your four-piece next tier, it'll cast a Riptide on them. So the end effect is, if you're chain healing the whole raid a whole lot, you're going to end up with a whole lot of Riptides ticking along the raid.
Oh, wow.
Which is actually pretty useful. So it means that you'll need to spend less global cooldowns to have extra Riptides out for the free high tide bounces. And it'll also mean the single target healing of your chain heal will be pretty strong, because you're casting a full strength Riptide on them, which has instant healing that's decent, and it'll crit most of the time. And then you're casting a full chain heal, and they get extra healing from being the first target of your chain heal. So they're pretty good bonuses, and they're useful. They're just not as good as the ones we have now, but it'll be pretty fun to play with. Other than that, 6.2 is the trinkets, which are going to be pretty fun.
Yes.
My favorite trinket right now, which is completely broken, is the... there's a static spirit and then a leech trinket. So you know the tertiary stat? So what this does is, when you heal a target, it gives them a 10-second buff where they leech for a certain percentage of the healing you gave them, is the easiest way to explain it. So
it's like a hot kind of...
Yeah, but they're healing themselves with it, so it's really weird. And it's really hard to see how much healing it's actually doing, because the healing doesn't get attributed to you, it gets attributed to them, because they're the ones leeching. So the more you heal, the more everyone else in the raid heals themselves with the leech buff that you're giving them. And it's actually really, really strong when you dig into how much healing it's doing. But
that doesn't sound broken. That sounds like... That's what you want for final tier, man. You want stuff that's just, out of hand.
But the funniest part about this is because it doesn't show up on meters easily, no one's going to use it. None of the lower level players are going to want it, because they're like, I lose a lot of stats and my meters are lower, but then their raid is leeching millions of HP every fight, and people are dying less. You just look like a worse healer.
That is just awesome.
That'll never
so
do.
So I wonder if they're going to... Yeah, I wonder if they're going to change that one drastically or not.
Hmm.
But it's really cool. That I mean, that's a really cool idea for a trinket, and I really like it. And there's a few other interesting ones, but nothing quite as big as that for healers coming out.
I think that... Did you get everything sorted out?
I think so. I'm trying to think if I have any other questions here.
Did Pink have any questions? I know she was talking to you about the elemental blast thing, but...
Yeah, like, she's the one who basically told me about conductivity, elemental... Actually, the top three tiers, she told me I was doing wrong on all three of them. And, that was pretty much verified tonight, so... I'm trying to think here. If I have any other questions...
So the big takeaway is weak auras.
Weak auras are good.
Weak auras. Well, this is like every episode. Takeaway is weak auras.
I used to.
You shouldn't consider them a crutch, okay? We're a pretty good guild. We were the fastest guild in the U.S.
I've heard.
We abuse the crap out of weak auras. Like, I have 35 weak auras for VRF, like just boss mechanic weak auras.
Oh, wow.
Just because when you're in our progression environment, if you cause a single wipe by messing up the mechanic, like, you failed.
You lose a finger, right?
Yeah, we don't ostracize you completely, but we teach people that they should hate themselves when they mess up, so we want to prevent it as much as possible.
Nice. That makes sense. It absolutely makes sense.
As much as you say it's like playing the game for you, people still mess up even with them, so help yourself out a bit.
Well, see, if you're going to use macros, weak auras are just a whole, like, I kind of put it on that level, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's just work to set up, that's all. And I know I could just steal them, but then I got to go search for them in a...
No way, you're talking
about...
I'm getting by.
You want some weak auras?
Yeah. Do you have some weak auras?
I could give you some. Let me open my trench coat.
Yes. We're dealing weak auras now. All right.
Subscribe to my channel.
All right. Yeah.
I lost you there.
Some streamers did that stuff, man. If you actually did the monthly sub, that they would give you their raid specific auras and all that.
Charge $75 an hour for tutoring, but that comes with a weak aura package for your first 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, that's a joke. I don't do that. But
seems nice. Legit.
Yeah, I don't think I have any other questions. I don't think so, and I don't think Pink sent us any. Did she?
I don't think so.
I guess we should have asked her again today. Oh, wow. Oh, well. That was good, though.
Right.
I think I found some things I'm doing wrong. Some things I can improve. Yeah.
That's the hardest part. Figuring out what are these guys doing different than me.
Exactly. Although my healing isn't bad. Like, since I got called out in LFR, and then after talking to Pink, like, I'm definitely, like, in our raids, when I do pull in my shaman to heal when we're short a healer, someone's out sick or something, I'm keeping up, and even some fights, even though my gear is lower because I'm not there as often, there's a couple where I was topping the meter still, but there's more I can be doing, clearly, so.
Yeah.
It's always good, because I do enjoy healing with my shaman. I really do.
You just don't ever do it.
I know, because I over-recruited, which is fine. The healers we got are great. And I'm glad we got them, so. But I still have the opportunity to heal on occasion when they're out. So it's all good. It's all good. All right.
And
well,
I still have that same mentality.
Yeah. So
you gotta be willing to learn from other people. Like, I still ask other shamans what they're doing and other healers of other specs. You gotta student mentality if you want to really be good at it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's. Let's find some other things that we might have learned.
Don't try to tank in healing gear.
Unclaimed mail will be deleted after 30 days.
Always check your loot spec before a boss fight.
Things I learned the hard way.
All right, things I learned the hard way. Do you have one for this evening, Kev?
Yes, I do. So, mine is UI related, or mod related. So we're doing progression on Cro-Mag, which is the guy with all the hands. And each person can only go in one hand. And it's really important you get in them quickly, so you can start damaging them earlier. And if you don't get in one, if someone steals yours, you're probably going to die. So this was a big deal, and we're getting to the fight for the first time. And from PTR testing, we knew kind of how it worked. So we had everyone in the raid download a mod called Exorcist Raid Tools, which has a whole lot of options, but we only were using the boss mod helper option, which assigned each person in the raid one spot to stand in, so that no one else would steal their hand, and they know exactly where to go, and they could get back to doing what they needed to do. And so the raid leader had to individually, the first time we get there, input people's names into each spot on like a little grid. And then he was supposed to sync it up with the rest of the team so that everyone was looking at the same thing. Unfortunately, we were standing there for too long, so I got a little bored, and I started pushing buttons on the options. And I accidentally sent the undone version, basically when we were finished with it, after having spent 10 minutes on progression, to the whole raid, and synced it and saved it, so that we had to start all over again. Well, you know, Method's killing the boss at the same time, and Blood Legion's killing it, and we're all trying to race each other. And that was a pretty big deal. That was like an uncharacteristic of, what the f*** are you doing? Of, why would you do this? And I didn't know. I had slept 6 hours in the past 2 days. I didn't know what was going on. I was just clicking the red button. But that was a pretty big deal.
Nice.
So the main takeaway is, if you're doing a new mod and it has to be synced up together, just don't touch anything unless you know exactly what you're doing. No buttons.
No buttons.
No buttons.
All right. Rob, do you have anything this week?
Not really. I mean, I did some silly stuff during raid. We had some all sorts of problems with our KSK and everything this week, but nothing really, like, I actually screwed up. We killed some heroic bosses, which was nice. We one-shot a bunch of heroic bosses we hadn't even done before, so, yeah, loot. And you, maybe, you know what, you weren't there.
No, I wasn't. Not till later.
Wonder if that has anything to do with it.
I don't know. I doubt it. I doubt it.
What do you have for us?
Well, this isn't even related to Warcraft. It's Heroes of the Storm. We did some Heroes of the Storm on Wednesday. We're trying to do Heroes on Wednesday as our raid team group, as many can make it. But anyway, there's an option, and I don't know why mine was off, but the screen doesn't follow your character for some reason, or it wasn't. And I couldn't function. Like, I was, because I'd have to move my mouse over and then move my character and then move my mouse over to scroll the screen and then move my character. And the whole match, I went and I was trying to figure out, and we got annihilated in this match. We were doing it against other people too, whatever that's called, a quick match. Anyways, it wasn't until finally near the end, because I had said this a couple times in chat. There was one other person who wasn't in Mumble with us, and on what this option was, and finally, I think we were like 2 minutes from dying, and he said L. Like, oh my god. Freaking L. So anyway, that's the button. That is what I learned the hard way, is L. So if you're playing Heroes of the Storm, and the screen is not following you around, hit your L key. So that made it... Pro tip. That is a pro tip. So that made it much easier to play, because I was getting frustrated. I was getting angry, because I couldn't function, because I'd go to move, and then my guy was off the screen, and it's like, well, now what? Or when I died, and it ports you to the beginning area where you res, I had to scroll my whole screen over there, because it didn't automatically take me to that area. It was just ridiculous. So anyway.
So real quick, when you have the unlocked screen, you can press the space bar and it'll recenter the camera automatically on your guide temporarily for as long as you hold the space bar.
That's information I could have used on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Nope, you don't need that.
We got to play some heroes, and then I got all sorts of tips for you.
Space bar. Got to remember that one, too. Okay. All right. Let's get into some head love.
Hey, don't matter what you run out of town. He's got some shutters to send over. Oh, so let's turn it all around and scoot in a little bit closer. I just want to use and love
I haven't done this in a while, but I need to send some hen love to Megan for doing that intro. I still love that intro, or that bumper. I really do.
I picture you, like, driving to work, just like...
yeah! Maybe. Yeah. I'm not saying it's never happened. I gotta send some hen love to our guildies, had one job on the Deathwing server. And, of course, to our raid team, Team Crab Dick. Glad to see that you guys got some heroic bosses this week, and I'm sure we will repeat that when I am there this week. At least we better. So,
we'll see.
Are you healing, or?
It depends who shows up, I guess.
You should force yourself. You should make sure you're one of the people healing so that you can take your new knowledge into the raid environment. Mm-hmm. Give it a shot.
Well... we'll see. Maybe. Maybe. And of course, I need to send some hen love to you for coming on the show this evening and schooling me on what I'm doing wrong on Resto Shaman, which is quite a lot, apparently. I need to let Siege of Orgrimmar go.
Let it go.
Let it go. Yes. Rob, what do you have for hen love tonight?
Definitely, Kev, for coming on. Really, 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 really appreciate it, man. Like I was saying, you totally set the bar for what we're doing here now. Again, Daryl, for playing a Resto Shaman on occasion. that one out of every 15 raids where you bring your shaman.
Yes.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I guess our team, you know, something else was a little cranky on Friday, so anybody who put up with me definitely is got it going on, so I don't know. Kev, how about you? You got some shout-outs?
I'll send it right back to both you guys. I had a lot of fun here. It was good talking with you. Thanks for inviting me. I was, like, talking about WoW for an hour or so. I'll send some to Midwinter, obviously. I love those guys. I'm real excited to do some hardcore progression again. Farm gets a little old, so gotta go back into the 14-hour nerd days.
Yeah.
And then I'll send some back to Temerity, which is my old guild. And I love a lot of those guys, and I talk to them still, so maybe I'll get them to listen to it. And they'll get the shout-outs.
Nice. Well, before we wrap this up, can you let everyone know where they can reach you, follow you, like you, or how they can send hen love to you?
So the only thing I do right now is Twitter, and my handle is @Kev_wow. I'll try to respond to things. You can just at me, and I check it a lot because I don't have anything better to do at work. But please don't send me in-game mails because those just upset me. Just go through Twitter and everything will be wonderful.
Nice. That's awesome.
Totally.
That's it. Yeah, I don't stream or YouTube, so.
Yeah, you're probably better off for it.
Yeah.
I guess that wraps up episodes 96. Episodes. We're almost at 100. That's still crazy.
I don't know. We're getting there.
We'll get there, hopefully, right around the 3-year mark, but. Episode 96 of Training Dummies. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher. So please consider giving us a review, good, bad, or otherwise. You can follow us on Twitter, and we'll keep you informed on all the things. The show is at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Copeland, and Daryl is at Hind_TTD.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo! Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!
I rolled a 20.